This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, A Law of Attraction Book for Children. The star-powered twins discover the secret words. And the author is Dorothy LaCour. And Dorothy joins us on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by AuthorHive. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Well, I love the whole premise of this. It's certainly words, the words we use create the feeling within us, right?
Correct.
Well, you talk about Grace and Jace, two very special children on a very important mission, and you say follow along with them on their colorful adventures as they discover the secret of using the law of attraction to make their dreams come true. And this law of attraction is connected to words.
Absolutely.
How did you come up with this idea? What motivated you? Tell us.
Well, I taught first grade for 35 years, and I realized how empowering words were to develop self-esteem. And that's the first thing you want to develop in a child, is their self-esteem. And if they believe in themselves, they can do anything they're capable of doing. So, and then after I retired, I started to take law of attraction classes with Michael Ogier and Jack Canfield. And I said, oh, wouldn't this be great to incorporate all the things that I did for 35 years with the law of attraction? So I could continue to empower children and to show, you know, how important the words we use daily create what we're feeling. And that's what the law of attraction is.
Empowering children.
Yep. Words empower you. Words empower adults. But the law of attraction is the most powerful law in the universe. It never stops working. Just like gravity, it's always in effect, always in motion. And it's working in your life at this very moment, giving you a perfect match to your feelings. And that many people fail to realize you can only vibe. Your vibe is your mood or your feeling, positive or negative.
So this book, this very colorfully illustrated book, I'm holding it in my hands right now, The Star-Powered Twins, Discover the Secret of Words. Great illustrations of Jace and Grace. And then, of course, from page to page, we see words that are highlighted, and that's the word for that lesson?
Well, on each illustration, at the bottom of the page is a law of attraction word.
Yes.
So, like, and then,
like, here's one that says allow.
Allow. And that's what, for law of attraction, we might ask for something, but we have to allow the proper time to unfold before we might get our wish.
So it says allow your imagination. So that's a key thing, to allow something to happen in our minds.
Right, without doubt. Allowing is just letting it happen without doubting that you'll get your wish.
And here's what
always just puts a stop on everything, because you don't really believe you're going to get it.
Here's one that says action. Great picture illustration of someone what is he doing? He's creating some beautiful glass blown.
It's glass blown orbs with the flowers.
The flower in it. Yes.
Right, because we each have our own unique gifts and talents, but remember, in order for it to flow, we have to take an action step. You can think about something, but unless you put the action behind it, nothing will ever happen.
And of course, with all the positive words and feelings, danger is a reality as well, and you have you have that concept here.
Right, and I really went into the words to delete, like no, not, and don't. Because the universe is deaf to those. If I say to you, don't run, what's the first thing a child's going to do? I'm going to run.
Well, they hear the word run, right?
Right, don't spill your milk. Well, you're putting it on spilling it. So if you just say, hold your milk carefully, you're asking for exactly what you want to have happen. So that's why you have to be very clear in the words you use.
So Grace and Jace learned the words they were never allowed to use. Those words are don't, can't, no, and not.
That's right, because the universe is deaf to that. So you get the opposite of what you want.
So these are, as you call them, affirmations? Or
affirmations. Affirmations are power statements that, especially when you put the words I am in front of it, that's like the highest part of yourself that you're creating from. And for children, like, I'm a great speller. I'm an awesome reader. You're putting in a lot of power in front of your intention. So you're affirming that. And even for children to learn eye to eye in the mirror by saying the I am affirmation.
I guess we really find out what we feel about life and what we feel about ourselves when we complete that statement, I am, and then complete it.
Right. Because we're all here to do something different. So your I am statement probably will be completely different than what I would want. It celebrates our uniqueness.
And here's a page, magic words. I am thankful.
And that is the highest vibration. If you stay in a state of gratitude, you can attract anything to yourself. Gratitude is the most powerful state of being.
Gratitude. Tell us more about this principle.
Well, when you're in a state of gratitude, you're extremely thankful and appreciative. So your feeling energy is vibing in a very high state. So the universe says, oh, she really likes that. Let's give her more of that because she's really thankful for it. And that's how it works. You attract what you put your attention and your focus on. And a negative person, whether wanted or unwanted, they're going to attract whatever they're focusing on. But when you keep a gratitude journal, and I've done that for years, that, you know, I start my morning by writing all the things that I'm grateful for, and you only get more each day.
And this book is filled with pages for children to do that.
Right. At the end of the book, I included a gratitude journal, and also on my website, I have pages to download so that they can print off their own gratitude journal.
So students, children, you say read 10-page segments of the story per day. Now, explain this process.
All right. I designed it. This book is 88 pages, and it's designed just like a first-grade anthology book. And so what the intention is to get them ready for their developmental reading test. So you read 10 pages, but you follow the instructions I put for a concept book. You really explore all the detail in the illustration, who's in the picture, what's happening, when do you think it's happening. Then you read the next page. By the second night, what you want to do is, now, can you repeat the sequence of events that we went through the night before? And this is helping their comprehension questions. And if they have difficulty with it, you just take the picture walk again of those 10 pages and then proceed with the next. Because the book is 88 pages, and that's long. But you're developing a concept with them, the law of attraction. So it's going to take a good 8 days for this to follow through with them. And I give a lot of activities on my website also. But the best feature of it will be when the child can read the story to the parents.
Well, here's a page titled Dreams. A little girl, I guess that's Grace, looking at a beautifully decorated Christmas tree.
So she's focusing on what she wants, her attention.
And she has a very special gift to give Jace, and it says, can you guess what's in her sparkling red box?
Well, the best part was that Jace had put that on his vision board. And I had gotten into that as a strategy to develop the law of attraction, where Grace and Jace each made their own vision board. And that's when children take out of magazines, what are they trying to attract? What do they really want? And Jace really wanted a compass. So he, on his vision board, he put a compass. is one of the things he wanted to attract. And that was the gift that Grace was giving him for Christmas.
Now, you also at the end have a list of resource books and links, The Magic of the Universe, you call it.
Yes. It just opens it up for you. It makes every day magical.
So you have a few pages of that. You also have some poetry.
Oh, I put my favorite poem in there.
Proud to be a teacher.
Yeah, that got me through many, many days.
And there you are, a picture of Dorothy, Alice LaCour.
That's me.
That's you. Yes, it is. And then, of course, we have these my gratitude journal. We also have some beautiful star awards.
And that can also be printed off from my website, too.
Ah, very nice.
And I have coloring pages for children that parents can print off. My illustrator was really good. She did them in black line. So to reinforce the pages as parents read it, they can give them a coloring book page. And each one has a law of attraction word at the bottom.
Well, let's reemphasize some of these points. You talk about the law of attraction as the most powerful law in the universe.
It is, because it'll give you a perfect match to what you're feeling all the time. Like somebody put a recorder inside you. Okay, let's check in and see how Steve is feeling today. Oh, he must like that feeling. Let's give him more. So that's why it's very important for people to really to check in. How am I feeling? And if you really need to feel more energized, think of something that's going to uplift you, like turn on the radio. Think about what you're grateful for. That's how you can reset your vibe.
You talk about current research has shown that 60% of what we say on a daily basis is in the form of negative criticism.
And that's so very true.
So self-confidence can be sabotaged, as you state.
Words are empowering, and even adults forget that. When they speak to children, they feel that they're going to get more out of them if they criticize them, and the opposite will happen. But if you empower them to really believe in themselves by using, that's why I have a Star Power word chart on my website that people can, you know, copy and put it on the refrigerator. There's 100 different words and phrases that they can use for the child to uplift them. And in the book, I've just sprinkled all those words on all the pages.
The law of attraction develops the power of positive words, thoughts, and actions to attract expanded goodness into our lives.
And I'm sure that's a goal that we all want.
Well, everyone wants to feel better and do better. So if we think it and say it, you're saying that the result we're going to like.
Absolutely.
No matter what our age.
You can be 110 and finally become aware, wow, I'm attracting exactly what I'm feeling. And if you're not happy with what you're attracting, then all you have to do is change your feelings.
So important for children to grasp this principle.
Oh, at an early age, can you imagine what they'll be capable of doing? Once they realize that it's their feelings that's creating. Remember, thoughts, words, and actions have to be in perfect alignment for you to manifest what you want.
Say that again.
Thoughts, words, and actions have to be in perfect alignment for you to manifest what you want.
What do you mean by perfect alignment?
Okay, here, how do we create thoughts? Well, words create our thoughts. So if we start using our positive words every day and putting them in affirmations and taking your action steps like creating a vision board, a gratitude journal, then that's your action. Your intention is focused on, so you're using your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So now they're in total alignment. Every day, you're putting your attention on this, so you're only what's going to happen? You're going to manifest what your attention is focused upon. So you want to make sure your actions are perfectly matched with your words.
The title of the book, A Law of Attraction Book for Children. The Star-Powered Twins Discover the Secret Words. And the author is Dorothy LeCour. Dorothy, tell us how to get your book.
Well, it's on Amazon.com. And you can go on either one of my websites, Law of Attraction with the numeral 4, children.org, and there's Law of Attraction, numeral 4, for children.com. My .com website is designed more for parents and teachers to really understand the Law of Attraction, and I have games and activities on each of my sites. But I have a fun game where it's called the Star Word of the Day, and the cover of the book is all bubbles. So the child can click on a moving bubble, and then a word will appear, and they say the name of the word. So it's very multisensory.
This special interview on Indie Book Publishing brought to everyone by Author Hive. Dorothy, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Among Us, Pathways, and the author is S.C. Weiserich. And Steve joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Well, before we get into finding out why you decided to take this approach to this novel, I wanted to read a few things you've written. You say this: the pressures of life for someone at the crossroads to the future are sometimes difficult to bear, and no one understands those crossroads better than a teenager on the verge of graduation. Fortunately for Emily Newhouse, a high school senior, she has a champion in her corner. Her guardian and protector, Odium. He's been charged to take care of her at all costs, living invisibly among us as he helps to guide her through this turbulent period. So, Odium, a guardian angel.
Yes.
Why this approach
It kind of goes a lot back to my reasoning why to write the book, but I've always had an interest in angels, and part of this whole story is about someone finding their pathway, their what they want to go to school for and that kind of thing, and that all deals also with, say, careers and jobs and things. And I'd often wondered or thought about angels and their relationship to God and how they serve and how they might look at it as a job or a career or whatever, their motivations for doing it and things like that. So angels, just beyond the idea of the little cherubs floating around with harps, you know, I kind of always thought of them as warriors, kind of machismo characters like Maximus from Gladiator or something like that, the movie Gladiator. So I wanted to write a story kind of dealing with that and how that might intertwine with the human world that we see around us.
Yeah, you also say this book is about relationships and conflict and how God can string even the worst of circumstances and events together into a success.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of relationships between that are kind of, you know, discussed or, you know, part of this story between the young lady and her friend, you know, her best friend, and her parents, and then a young guy that she's interested in. And at the same time, on the spiritual side, how this angel has to deal with this kind of arch enemy, this demon, his name is Keiko, through the entire story, and that he has a friend that he talks to as well, and how all of that wraps up and how it all kind of connects to our relationship to God as well.
So as you see it, the invisible world is very close to us.
Yes, I think so. I think God is very much got his hands in everything that happens around us. And sometimes he does actions directly. Sometimes he uses his angels, his servants to carry these things out, to help him to do things.
Tell us more about Emily Newhouse. Let's take a look at her character and what she wants out of life.
Well, the story picks up kind of just before prom, you know, so she's in her senior year of high school, and she's getting ready to take her SATs. She's looking at colleges and things, and she's kind of this classic overachiever. So what she's dealing with, too, at the same time is that, you know, as much as a lot of people would love to be good at one thing and then, you know directly what they should do with their life based on that, well, she's good at many different things. And so as much as it sounds like a weird kind of curse to have, she's struggling with what path she should take, what she should go to school for, where she should apply to college and things like that.
Do we know why Odium is assigned to her?
Well, what I kind of allude to in the book, and I guess at that point I'm guessing at what God's motivations might be to do anything, but is that that God will assign his angels to work or come alongside humans to help them at different times that are challenging times in their lives, or maybe for entire periods of times just for just to help things along. I also kind of allude to the fact that I think that at the same time, you know, angels aren't necessarily just these kind of mindless beings that just serve and that's all that they do. It's also that God has a love for them and has reasons that he might assign them to a particular human being because it helps to develop them in a certain way as well.
Today seems like our culture is really fascinated with vampires and sorcerers. You see that in the books. You see that in the movies.
Yes.
So why take... Is that part of the reason you did this book?
Oh, yes, very much so. I have two young kids myself, and in just looking at, you know, culture nowadays and kind of the direction that things have headed, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't consider myself to be an old man. I turned 42 this year. And but yet at the same time, I look at things, and it used to be that, you know, when I was a teenager, that vampires were the bad guys. You know, these are the guys that would rip you apart and, you know, drink your blood and all that other kind of stuff. And so it's just it's a weird turn of events to go from this whole idea for me of where vampires used to be the bad guys, and now vampires and werewolves, you know, these are all like, they could be good characters and helping us out, or, you know, people that you'd see all these admirable qualities in and fall in love with. So, and I think that it's kind of the way that Satan works in the world altogether, is that he makes things that are evil seem like they're okay. And I think that that's kind of the big deception that he's always kind of after, is to try and make it look like he doesn't really exist and to pull people in a direction towards him.
Do you think that angels struggle with decision-making and free will like we do?
Yes, I do. I mean, I can't say conclusively that I know that, because I'm not a theologian or Bible scholar, and I'm sure that God will explain it all to me someday. But I think just the fact that that at one point in history, and I consider whatever the Bible says to be history, that at one point in history there was this rebellion where a group of angels said, no, we want to do this our way. You know, we don't want to follow God anymore. I think that very point suggests for sure that there is some sort of free will that they have to do what they want, to follow their path or a different path.
Is Emily aware of Odium?
No. I'm thinking right now about how to continue this story, as this will be a series between the two main characters, as she kind of, in this book, will eventually go off to college and things like that. But certainly during this story, no.
Some may question your license here, the way you're bringing angels in. Humans together like this, how would you respond to them?
Well, I have tried to, as much as possible, make sure that anything that I've written was accurate to the Bible, which I believe to be the authority on this subject. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm by no means a theologian. I'm someone who reads the Bible every day, but I'm by no means an expert. So this is, I guess I would remind those people, if they do take offense to this, which I hope that they don't, it was written for entertainment, that it is fiction. I have some messages that I try to get across through the story that I think are all very positive Christian messages, and that I don't know if there's much more to say about it. That this is a fiction and a piece of entertainment, really.
Well, we all know how we struggle in this life as humans, but you also say that angels struggle.
Yes. I think that there are ongoing struggles as they work to try to support us, as they work to fight against Satan's minions, his demons, because while they may be doing things to carry out God's work to help us or to help guide us through things, at the same time, Satan's in there trying to mix up the pot and make whatever positive and good things that God tries to provide for us to take on a spin that's not positive. So I think that that's part of the struggle that they go through, just beyond, you know, they're not God. They have this perfect connection or conduit to God, so they can turn to him and talk to him anytime they want and get direct feedback, of course. But being imperfect beings, I think all imperfect beings have some sort of conflict that they have to go through with their existence.
Now tell us more about Keiko, this evil spirit.
Yes, so he was someone that Odium, the main angel character, had met kind of very early on, and towards the beginning of some of the stories in the Bible, actually at a conflict that Odium is at with Joshua from the Old Testament. And so he's this kind of sly character that while he is also a warrior himself, can play this kind of very tricky role of tangling people up with their words and knows how to really draw out and lay a trap, more or less.
So when you say lay a trap, are you dealing with the temptations of life?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So what is this trap? Tell us a little about a trap laid for Emily.
Oh, well, I don't know if I can get too much into that without revealing the story.
Okay.
Sure. Basically, there's a bunch of little adventures that both Odium and Emily go through together. And during that time, Odium's trying to figure out, or during the entire time, is it about Keiko trying to ruin Emily's life in some way, or is it something that's directly towards him? So that's kind of one of the big question marks and points of suspense, I believe, through the story.
So this invisible war is there. There's always this war raging beyond what we can see.
Yes.
And of course, one of Satan's great desires, as you put it, is to make us believe he doesn't exist.
Right, right. I think that it is easiest for him to get us to forget about God or God's kind of, you know, the anti side of him, by making people think that there is no Satan, that there is no evil, you know, that things that we kind of traditionally looked at or understood to be evil, whether it be through statement in the Bible or just from, I think, our conscience telling us that it is, you know, making those things seem ambiguous. And I think that that's exactly what Satan is going for, is to try and look like, well, he's not really the bad guy, you know, and that that maybe even there is no hell, there is no spiritual world around us that we have to worry about. Because if he can make us believe that, then people tend to think less about God. They tend to think less about kind of overall existence, why God might have created us, why he created the wonderful world around us, things like that.
One of the messages that you want everyone to get from your book, you say that walking with God can be exciting. You just need to pay attention to what he has done and how he works in our lives.
Yes, yes. I think that, you know, it's very easy just from watching the news to see all of the terrible things that are going on around us. But at the same time, you go to the Grand Canyon and you see this wonderful thing that God created, or even some of the marvels that he created through humans, you know, by creating us, giving us imagination and all that we'd accomplished. So I think that that's the big draw that Satan tries to pull away from God, is for us to forget about how he cares for us, how he's created everything around us, the beauty, the just kind of amazing things. And you know, I think in just going back and looking through different stories in the Bible, I mean, you have all of the different classic kind of elements that you would see in many modern movies for a really exciting adventure, whether you're talking about these kind of great battles that happen in the Old Testament, or the struggles between a man and a woman and the temptation of a man. I'm thinking of King David, for example, in this case. You know, with seeing Bathsheba on the roof at one time, you know, there is a lot of adventure in the Bible and in our lives, and I think we just have to stop, slow down, and pay attention.
The title of the book, Among Us, Pathways, and the author is S.C. Wieczorek. Steve, tell us how to get your book.
Available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, just about any of the big resellers. If you go on the web and you search Among Us : Pathways or my name, it'll come up, and you can get it in electronic format as well.
Thanks for being with us, Steve, on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show. Every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Get Out, Save Your Life, I Did. And the author is Tammy Keel. And this interview is on Indie Book Publishing, brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Tammy.
Hi, Steve.
Well, this is your true story, your autobiography, and it's very sobering. You walk us through a lot of abuse from your early childhood all through your life. There's also, we want to let everyone know, there's a happy ending, at least to the point where Tammy is helping others now. She healed herself, and now she works with others to heal them through her psychic abilities and her connection, as she calls it, to the metaphysical world. So congratulations, Tammy, on coming on such a long journey.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here and thankful to be alive.
This is what you say about your book. This book talks about the trauma and struggles I have suffered in my life, including the physical abuse by my father and then by my husband in an 18-year marriage. It tells of the pain pill addiction that was forced upon me by my husband. Through it all, my faith was constant. It is what kept me going, knowing that God had to have a better plan for me. I am a survivor, not a statistic. Well, you are a survivor, and your book is that truthful story about what you've gone through. Very difficult to write, Tammy?
Yes, it was very hard to write. I had to relive a lot of the memories that I had put away and blocked, and it seemed that they were frozen. So writing the book, I had to go back to places that I didn't think I'd ever go again.
And you also say the abuser is still out there. What do you mean by that?
He is still out there, meaning that he's not incarcerated, and I still sometimes live in fear.
That's your husband.
Go ahead.
That's your husband.
My ex-husband, correct.
Right, your ex-husband. And so he's still there, and he denies that he ever hit or hurt or abused you.
Yes, he has officially denied ever laying a hand on me or stabbing me with the scissors or strangling me. He strangled me 7 times. And in the process, one of the biggest surprises of all, I found some tapes that were made during the beatings that I've blacked them out since I've written the book. I found tapes, and you can hear the lashings and the hits, and he's verbally abusing me, plus physically abusing me. And it's all on tape. You can hear him break out into the devil. It's what sounds of like the devil. And it's just horrifying. So he can deny it, but there is proof. Plus, I have other proof as well.
Your whole goal is to help others.
Yes, to bring this to the surface, because I know it's such a problem, and there's so many people out there that are afraid to do anything like I was. And I'm hoping that with me coming forward and being so honest, I can help somebody else out there that I know is suffering.
You're the youngest of how many children?
5 children.
You didn't know your older sisters or brothers very well because they were so much older, weren't they?
Yes, they were very much older than me. I grew up alone with my sister,
and
my youngest sister.
And your father had a drinking problem.
Yes, he was a very bad alcoholic, very mean.
And because of it, you were abused. And how often were you abused?
Almost every day. The eating habits, the frog legs, the eating and then throwing up and then being dragged across the floor by my hair. And then he would take me into the bedroom, and I remember the beatings, and then I black out. I don't know how it ends.
Why did your mother stay with him?
Probably for the same reason I stayed with in my situation. It's a learned behavior, and she didn't know a way out. Because I know that with my abuser, he had me convinced that there was no other way out. There was a lot of brainwashing techniques that he used, and I believe my mother, I don't know why she didn't do anything. I know that there were times when she could have, but she was too afraid. He often put a gun to her head. He tried to shoot her in the head, and the bullet grazed her skull. So she was terrified of him, just like we were. I was scared to death of my father.
And so you were afraid for your life to tell anyone else?
Absolutely. My sister was removed from me, from my mom and my dad, from the house due to the abuse that she suffered. But even then, my mom didn't feel strong enough to get away. Ultimately, it took my brother, my oldest brother, giving her an ultimatum that if she didn't stop the suffering, that he was going to do something to have us removed.
Now, your older brother, Ronnie?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
He came home and basically saved you.
Yes, he did.
And tell us about what happened.
My father was tearing up the house and breaking everything, and it was really violent. And my brother came in the house and picked up an iron and hit my father in the head with it and knocked him out. And got us out to the car, and he had called the police, and we had a police escort escorting us out of down into Reseda from North Hollywood to get us safely out of there. And then my father was arrested, and he then spent 8 years in prison.
And from prison, he threatened you, didn't he?
Yes, he said that he would kill us if we'd said anything. He always threatened to come to school and kidnap me. My mother had to legally change my name to keep us protected from him and his friends.
And when he got out of jail, what happened?
He was involved in a motor vehicle accident and suffered a heart attack and died at the scene.
So how did you feel about that?
I felt a sense of relief because I no longer had to live in fear.
And did you feel like you were protected by God?
Yes, I did. I had a strong connection with Jesus and God from about 5 years old when I started going to church. And I put everything into faith. That's all I had. So I believed that God had a plan for me and that something good would come out of it.
So you eventually, with your mom, and I don't know, was there others that the family, you moved to Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm. My sister had moved to Las Vegas, and things were getting quite expensive in California, so I suggested to my mom that we move to Las Vegas as well, and she thought that was a great idea, and we did. And I quickly grew up fast and got a job on the Las Vegas Strip as a showgirl in an ice skating production. And that was exciting for me. I was 16, but I was very excited. I was a professional ice skater. I used to skate. And so I quickly began working full-time and earning a paycheck. I was 16.
How old were you when you got married?
23.
And how would you describe your husband at that time in relationship to your father?
Quite a few similarities. There were signs along the way. He had begun to grab me and put his fingerprints and bruise form on my arms. He would throw me up against the wall. And he also began a lot of verbal abuse. And even though I had all these red flags popping up everywhere, I still had tunnel vision. And because I believe I had such a hunger for being loved that it was almost like a drug addict. I was longing for love.
You just couldn't get away. You felt like you couldn't get away from him.
Absolutely, I couldn't.
Hmm. Now, did you understand this behavior by him before you got married?
No, I didn't.
You never saw any of that?
I saw the signs along the way, but I didn't rationalize it. I made excuses for it. I thought I could fix him, that's not true. You can't fix somebody.
And so, unfortunately,
it only gets worse, and it did get worse.
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
The fingerprints led to the hitting.
So you started to live what you saw your mom and what you went through when you were little.
Yes. And it took him less than three months to get me to quit my job and give up my life, my checking account, and give up my car. Within 3 months, I had given up all that and totally isolated myself and that's when I started to become a prisoner into his web. He started weaving a big web around me.
And he forced you to become a drug addict.
Yes, he did. I had never taken a pain pill before I had met him.
And so, what was the routine? What did he do?
He would be nice to me when I would go get the pills for him. I think that was a way of manipulation. Everything would be okay if I did what he said. And any time I didn't do what he said, I would get abused, and he would clamp down even worse.
And you got these. And you got these pain pills based on the fact that you were in a lot of pain from his abuse.
Yes, that's very true. In one of the beatings, he has ruptured my two of my discs in my lower back, and I have constant pain all the time. And back then, I had pain, too, from him rupturing my discs. And that was only one of the injuries he's caused. But, yes, I did have major pain in going to get the pills, but I believe that he would beat me up so that I could go get the pills, because if I didn't have a visible injury, then I couldn't get the medicine for him. He was also seeing doctors of his own, using fictitious names to feed his addiction. He didn't take the pills as directed. He took them like 9 at a time.
So what happened to motivate you to save your life?
In the year 2005, it had been 2 years since I gave up my job at Canyon Ranch at the Venetian as a nail tech. And in those 2 years, I became a prisoner in my own hole. It was already hell to begin with, but it became more of a darker place. I couldn't see in the windows I call it the dungeon, is the room that I lived in. I didn't know whether it was daytime or nighttime. I never saw the sun. And he had all the windows covered. It was hard to breathe in there. There were times I couldn't come out of the room for days. And there's still a lot of things that went on in the room that I'm in therapy right now, and I'm dealing with a lot of the flashbacks. Like I said, of things that I had completely blocked out. But it was pretty extreme and horrific. I became, like I said, a prisoner in my own home.
And what triggered the knowing that you needed to get out and save your life?
Throughout the highs and the lows, I still, I never had a break in my faith in God and Jesus, and I would always pray And I just believed that one day I would have enough strength. Something would happen that I would be able to change my life. And in 2005, in August, he had beat me up several times. And the last time, the beating was so brutal, I was laying on the ground. I had the TV on top of me, the wood stand, that everything had fallen. And I was laying on the ground, and I heard an angel with a female voice whisper in my ear, "Get out, save your life." And from that voice that I heard, that just resonated with me. And I was determined. It was like God had come to me, and or an angel did, and someone was saying, "Save your life, because if I didn't get out at that point, I would be dead." So I didn't plan ahead for this. I didn't think it out. It was just do or die. So I snuck out when he was asleep after the brutal beating I sustained. And I went to Quick Care in Las Vegas, which is a medical facility. And for the first time in my life, I was able to tell somebody what had been happening in my life. Because all the other times before, I would deny it. And the domestic violence counselors would come in, try to talk to me and convince me that, you know, that there's help out there. So many times they tried, but I was so petrified of him that I never said anything. I always said it's okay, and I would never do anything, press charges against him or anything. So I just decided, you know, once I snuck out and I told them what happened, they filled out a report, and they told me that they were going to call it in, and I assumed that they were calling the police. So one of the doctors got me a cab, and I took a cab home. Unfortunately, he was still in the house. I didn't expect him to be in the house when I came through the door. So I had to go through 24 more hours of not knowing what was going to happen next. And then I waited for the opportunity for him, and he did. He snapped. And I called 911, and they could hear everything happening in the background, and then the police came. And then I had him arrested, and he was taken to jail. And that was the first time.
Well, the story is obviously a very riveting, emotional, very tragic story of how badly women can be abused by loved ones, husbands, fathers. It's beyond comprehension for most people, but you have shared this, I understand. Tammy, you're sharing this just to give other people the hope that they can, too, get out.
Absolutely. If I can do it, and I did, by the North Las Vegas Police Department, my victim's advocates, they deemed my situation the worst case they've ever seen of domestic violence. When they came in and found me, I couldn't complete a sentence. I couldn't make a decision. I stuttered. I was like completely different than I am now. It's taken a lot of healing to get to the point I'm at now, but I wouldn't have changed it for the world. That was the best thing I ever did, was tell someone, if you're being abused, I mean, my advice would be please tell anyone. Because the minute you tell someone, then you know there's hope. That's opening the door to get out. It's not a no-win situation. There's hope. There's a tomorrow, and the tomorrow is bright. And I don't want anyone to waste 18 years like I did. It's not worth it. It never gets better. It only gets worse. And still to this day, I'm still asking myself, how did I let that happen to me? I thought I knew better, but it was definitely a learning experience and an extreme tragedy. Many, many tragedies in my life, lots of trauma. But I'm here to help people and make a difference. And I hope in telling my story, I can help somebody out there that's trapped.
The title of the book, Get Out, Save Your Life, I Did, and the author is Tammy Keel. Tammy, tell us how to get your book.
My book is available on Amazon.com. Also, it's available through Balboa Press, which is a division of Hay House Publishing. And soon it'll be sold on the Psychic Eye bookstore website and also at the Charleston location in Las Vegas where I work.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. And this interview is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.